Good evening. Welcome, Facebook friends and church members that are watching. We pray you've had a good day. I know it's been a hot day and a taxing day if you've been outside a while, like I was this morning. Kind of left me about hoarse. I can't hardly talk. But we're going to sing a song tonight, open with the song, which many of you out there know, and you can sing along at home. That's what my wife and I do sometimes. If we miss the service or we're not here or we see it, we just sing with them at home. But this one is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 182 in our hymnal. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Three.
Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Otis. All right, tonight we're going to be back in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. This is probably, if you know many verses out of Proverbs, I'd say you know verses 5, 6, and 7. They are very, very quote, often quoted and seem to bring, I know to me, a lot of peace and comfort. But I want to open us up into a word of prayer, with a word of prayer, and then we'll move on into our service tonight, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your grace, your mercy. God, just how good you are to us and that you're always on our side. You're always working on our behalf. And Heavenly Father, Lord, you have promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So tonight, Lord, I invite you, Holy Spirit, I ask you first off, forgive me of my sins as I am a sinner. And the only thing about me that is righteous is the blood of Jesus and the Spirit that lives within. And so, God, I thank you for that. And then I invite the Holy Spirit now to come and take control of our worship, our teaching. Give us wisdom and understanding. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Again, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, and I do want to say thank you to everybody that's with us tonight, and I'm going to ask you to share this. Our shares are falling off, so we're going to have to step up our sharing on Facebook. But not only because of the message of Christ Jesus, but there's some things, as you know, yesterday we posted that we're going to be moving back to parking lot services mainly. And there's some rumors and some misinformation that's out there, and so we're going to do our best to put everything in order. But we want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and nobody will do more for you if you'll just let him today. If he's pulling, if the Holy Spirit is drawing to you, then Christ is ready to work in your life, and you need to be open to his move. But yes, last night we did post. And if you'll read the Facebook post, what it says is this: out of an abundance of caution, we have made this decision. First thing I want to clear up tonight, there has been, as far as our investigating and trailing back, as we're told to do, there has been not one active case of COVID-19 on the campus of Thomas Village Baptist Church or within the walls of Thomas Village Baptist Church. What we do know is that on July the 5th, that there were people in our service that had contact with individuals that now are quarantined with COVID-19. And we're only sure of one, matter of fact, that has COVID. But again, we're doing this to be cautious. We're letting you know this. Now, we're not putting anybody on blast. We're not putting anybody's names out there. But we're doing this because we want you to know we love you and that we're concerned for your well-being. Number one, your soul. Number two, your physical well-being. But I want you to know, I spent a lot of time today kind of just trying to clear some things up because I want you to understand why we're doing what we're doing. And we met probably for 2 hours last night talking about this. And before we came together and made that post, we knew Sunday night we were going to make a post. But we wanted to make sure we had all our ducks in the row before we started putting things out there and not acting. We didn't want to be reacting. We wanted to be responding with intelligence and in wisdom. And so if you remember a few months ago, God blessed us in our area that basically we had a standstill. We didn't see a rising case probably for over a month. We didn't see a new one in Lee County, Wise County, Scott County, Norton, all those around us. But since, I want you to hear these numbers. This plays into the decision we made. As of about 5 or 6 o'clock Sunday night, Lee County was at 17 cases total. That doesn't mean active, but they had moved from 11 to 17 last week. Today, when I was doing this at 5 o'clock, Lee County has 27 cases now. Wise County, Sunday evening, 36 cases total. Tonight, 48 cases. And in Scott County, Sunday night at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, Scott County was reporting 11 cases. As of this afternoon at 5 o'clock, there were 17 cases. And so what we're seeing is that it is in our general area. It's in our general area. And then, again, I want to make this clear. There has been no one to our knowledge and our investigating that has been on our campus or in the walls of our church that has COVID-19. However, there had been individuals in our service on the 5th that were in close contact with someone who is now quarantined with COVID-19. And that's why we've made a decision for the foreseeable future to be going back to the parking lot services. Now, probably this Sunday we'll be doing it with the speakers, but Lord willing, after that, God willing, we'll be having it where you can stay in your car, have the engine revved up, and you can have icicles hanging from your nose, and you'll still be able to listen to us. And God willing, when we do that, we're going to move to having two services on Sunday where you can come up into the parking lot and be a part of it. So, again, and I told the deacons last night, I told them, and I said this, I said, it doesn't matter what decision we make to a group, we're going to be wrong no matter what we do. And so we're having to do this, but I want you to recognize, and I've quoted this scripture a lot since I've been here, but 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to break down a few words for just a second. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you look up that word in the Greek, the word is delia, D-E-I-L-I-A, and it means cowardly or timidly. So he's saying God has not given us a spirit that would cause us to act in cowardice or in intimidated. He says, but God has given us a spirit of power. The word there is dunamis, meaning whether we get the word dynamite from, But if you, the literal translation is that to have the strength and ability to complete an action. For God has not given us a spirit to cause us to act in cowardness or in fear or intimidation, but He has given us the strength and ability to accomplish a task. And He's given us also the spirit of love. Now, I'm not going to go into that. The word there is agape, and basically what it means is that we're to love like Jesus would love. And then lastly, it says He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, or of a sophonimus mind, meaning to display sensibility, proper judgment, and discipline. So the Holy Spirit that lives in every true disciple of Christ is not there so that we'll live in cowardice or in intimidation, but it lives within us to provide us with the strength and power to perform and complete tasks. Actions that will clearly and ultimately reflect and display the selfish, sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. And we can do so because the Spirit provides us with sensible, proper judgment to do what is godly and not what is suitable to us. So knowing this in relationship to the truth found throughout all the New Testament, specifically found over in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, where it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than your own self. Let each of you look not only to his personal interests, but also to the interests of others." So it's not out of fear or cowardice or timidity, but it's out of love and value for everyone that walks in the door at Thomas Village Baptist Church, and out of abundance of concern. Not that we're concerned that there's supposed to be an outbreak in our people. No, that's far from our minds. We're just doing it to do our best in the situation we have. And it's in our judgment to err to the side of caution than to the opposite side of it. And so I hope that clears some things up for you tonight. I just got more good news right before I was coming into the pulpit about it is not an active case. There isn't an active case. Now, we do have one member of our church that does have it, but they've not been in the church for months now, months since before we shut it down the first time. So, but again, you know, we were pressing on to going back to having business meetings. We were going to begin to start having our monthly prayer services again and all that. We were looking towards that, but we're just trying to do our best to make sure that we're looking at it. Basically, in the mine and the deacon's eyes, it came down to mandatory masks or going back to the parking lot. And we just didn't see that we had the authority to tell somebody they had to wear a mask or anything like that. So that's where we're at. If you have any questions, call your deacons, call myself, and we'll do the best. But again, it is in an abundance of caution and not out of that the COVID's been in our church. So to God be the glory for that. In the way of prayer service, or praise reports, praise God. I talked with Brother Jeff and Sister Tina yesterday, going, Lord willing, go spend some time with them tomorrow. We're thankful that God's brought some new meat to the church. I'm going to tell you now, if you can't tell, I am a bit disappointed. Because, man, we've been having something special in our services. People's come back hungering for the word. We've had visitors. We've had people joining. And as a pastor, man, hey, just keep that water flowing. I like that. But it ain't going to stop. God's going to keep doing it. He's already been doing it through the whole thing. And I just give him praise for that he knows what he's doing. And he's able to do whatever. I didn't get to talk to her long yesterday, but man, am I falling in love with Sister Ruth Roten. Had a phone conversation with her, looking forward to talking with her later on this week, but still want to continue to pray for her daughter as she's working there. I do want to go through the COVID numbers just before we go through our prayer needs. Actively right now in the United States, it looks as that there's 1,829,498 recovered. There's 1,511,905. Now, statewide, and see this right here, I don't get. statewide, as of now, it says that we have 71,535 that are infected. Total cases since the beginning of this thing, it said that we've had 73,527, meaning that as of today, only 1,966 have actually been healed of the coronavirus, and only 16 since Sunday. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that just goes to show that they're focusing more on taking care of the ones that we have, and I get that, but there's a lot more in our country and in our state that have recovered from the coronavirus than have died from it. I mean, it's not even close at how the recovery versus the death of it. So we do want to pray for the lost tonight, those, and whether it be corona or whatever, on a daily basis, thousands are dying and plunging headlong into eternal damnation. And that should be a burden to our souls. We want to pray for the backslidden. We want to pray for marriage. We want to pray for those that are depressed. We want to pray for the Barbara Haas family, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Pauline Weiniger, Brother Toddy Kearns, Johnny Johnson, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Kent Smith, Kaylee Roberts, Linda Jordan, Brenda Brown, Lynn Mullins, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Nolan Hensley, and I don't know if y'all seen the pictures, but he's been standing and been walking a little bit. We give God the praise for that, because only less than a month ago, on a Wednesday night, it was not looking good, but God is faithful, and he's brought him around. I want to pray for Eddie Hood, Jill Dysart, Merle Edwards, Wilma and Don Daniels, Cleveland Sexton, Gina Franks, Mary Snodgrass, Sheila Stanley, JC and Derek Osborne and their unborn triplets, Cindy Osborne, Catherine Ward, Faye Hill, Sister Ruth Roten and her daughter, Becky and Paul Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Hazel Stanley, Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Miss Liza Fletcher, Miss Henrietta Roach, Mr. Bobby and Miss June Jesse, Brother Chet and Sister Margaret, Miss Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Miss Wilma Williams, Miss Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, and then also November's coming. And there'll be many elections, but you know, the one that's on the center is that of our president. And we need to really be in prayer for that election. But no matter what, God's in control, and it ain't going to throw him off his game one bit. Praise God. Matter of fact, it's going to be right in line with what his overall plan for this world is. Any other prayer needs tonight? Did he? Praise the Lord. Had him on here tonight, though. You see that? I could read it. I wrote it right. Anyone else? Brother?
Praise report. Brother Paul was on his way back.
Mm-hmm.
He got a good report today.
Amen.
He saw the three doctors. They feel confident that it's healed up and doing well. And even his optic nerves have been pushed up or back in place.
Praise the Lord.
And that they've seen in a year.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, he told me he had a NASCAR driver bringing him back home, too. That he had... I told them just swing into Bristol, pick them up a couple million, and come on home after that. Yeah, we are thankful for that. And his leg was hurting, but his leg held up pretty good through everything throughout the day, and we give God the praise for that. Anyone else tonight? We do want to continue to pray for churches around us. Because they're in very similar situations that we are. I've been in contact with two other pastors this week. Some have went directly from having inside services to going back to completely online services. Others are trying to make the decision right now. But my prayer is this, and I think our lesson, God knows what he's doing. It's always amazing to me that how God lines things up. Is that even with my wife, we were talking last night as we were making these decisions and stuff like that, and I had to challenge her not to let fear encompass her. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now, I don't care if you're a member of a church and you've been a part of that church since your grandmama was a young girl and all this mess. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, beyond a shadow of a doubt, recognize that you are the child of a king. The book of Hebrews says that angels are on guard for those of us who are children of God. Ain't that awesome right now? That even right now as we speak, not only is the Creator watching over us, but he's also appointed angelic beings to watch over us today. And no matter what comes or goes, and we miss this many times, but folks, this is the only hell we are ever going to have to go through. When we leave this body, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe, just as it was with Lazarus, as God sent angels to escort them into the presence of the Creator, I believe the same happens to us. When we leave that last breath, we are escorted into the presence. And you know, at that moment, we're going to recognize something, that what he has in store for us is a whole lot better than what we were in wanting to hold on to for so long. And so you don't have to live in fear today. Live wisely, yes. Use common sense. But don't be fearful, all right? And so any other prayer needs before we go? Yes, brother. We will. Anyone else? All right, after a few moments silence, we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy. God, I'm thankful, Lord, today to know that we do not have to live in fear. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've defeated anything that we would have to be fearful of. You've already gained victory over it. You already reign and have conquered it. And so, Lord, today, thank you for that. Teach us what it means to live wisely, to live with common sense, but to also live in victory today. God, I know that even some of our members of Thomas Village right now, God, they are letting fear override faith. And so, God, right now, I just pray through the person of the Holy Spirit that he'll rise up within them. God, I pray for others that may be watching us tonight, whether they're members of our church or ever set foot in our church. God, if they know you as their Lord and Savior, then they're our family. And so, God, we pray for them tonight. But I also pray for those that may be watching, and they've got caught up in tradition. They've got caught up in religion. They've got caught up in maybe not wanting to know Jesus, but just wanting to go to heaven or wanting to miss out on hell. God, I pray for them tonight, and I pray that whatever deception may have befallen them, that the person of the Holy Spirit will call them to salvation and they'll realize the need for salvation. But God, I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for what you're doing in Thomas Village. I thank you for our people. God, I pray right now that you just continue to let us grow in a hunger for your word. And God, I give you all the praise, honor, and glory as much as I know how. And Lord, no matter how much I try, I could never give you the praise that you're due or pronounce the value and the worth that you have. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you as we go through our scripture tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, what we're going to do tonight is we're moving into Proverbs chapter 3. We'll read through our scripture and then I'll use it, talk a little bit about the context, and then we'll go through our verses. Beginning in verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her hand, and in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retain her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By the knowledge of the depths are by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not to the neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwells securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he has done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorner, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be to the promotion of fools. And may God add the blessings to his reading of his scripture. But as I was reading, the Lord just reminded me, when God's doing a work somewhere and making much of Jesus, the devil's going to do everything he can to take the focus off Jesus and of what God's doing. And if that means he has to put it on the building or the people in that building, he don't mind doing that as long as he can keep the focus off Jesus. So our goal tonight is to focus on Jesus, his love, his protection, and how much he has done for us. So as we've moved into this study and as we've talked about the situation in our country, we see clearly that common sense is going to be something, if they could do it, the only place you will find it in a few years would be in the Smithsonian, because it's becoming a thing of the past. And I think right now, even us that know Christ, if we're not careful, we can let the foolishness of the world and society around us try to trump the wisdom that we find in God's truth. And so that's why we've moved into this study on Wednesday nights, because in this we find the wisdom of God. Now, we know it was written by Bathsheba's and David's son, Solomon, who the Bible teaches us over in the books of Kings that he is the wisest man that ever was and ever will be. And even though he did not live by the wisdom he was granted in his personal life, it was under him that the nation itself experienced great growth, and God allowed that to happen. But a proverb, again, it is a concise but brief statement, usually, that imparts general advice and wisdom. Remember, we talked about it basically being bullet points. And in most of these chapters, what you're going to see, and it begins to fall that way tonight. Now, in the previous chapters, chapters 1 and chapters 2, what we see there is that sometimes the Proverbs can take up a lot of space. It can be 3 or 4 points, 3 or 4 verses, sentences that basically present one truth, and the rest of them kind of build on that. And we saw that last week and the week before. Now, tonight, outside of Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18, verses 21 through 26, and verses 31 through 35, those three are in paragraph form, but the rest of them are at the least two verses and at the max three verses, trying just to get a little more precise and a little shorter on giving us the wisdom. And so we're going to look at them. I'm going to try tonight, instead of trying to break it down verse by verse and word by word, what we're going to try to do is cover it as a whole. And instead of, you know me, I like to have reference scriptures. I like to go here, I like to go there, but sometimes that can take away from getting through with the chapter. And so tonight we're just going to try to do some common sense type stuff. I'm going to make some references to some scriptures, not specific addresses, but just where you can find them in the in roundabout. But as we go in tonight, I want to remind you again, and does everybody have a copy of the specific definitions? We want you to have these definitions because they're going to be used quite often in our study. The first one is knowledge. Knowledge is simply defined as an awareness and a retaining of fundamental truth, specifically as it pertains to God, His ways, and what He values. And so we have the retention or the mental grasping of truth. Then there is understanding. Understanding takes knowledge and goes another step with it. Understanding takes the mental truth, the foundational truth, and allows us to apply it to our lives. It is the willingness and ability to take the knowledge, the truth, and to apply it properly in our day-to-day living situations and circumstances. And then when you take knowledge, the knowing, the mental aspect of possessing truth, and then you take that knowledge and you use it in your life, or you show understanding of that knowledge, then you are displaying wisdom. You are living out godly truth and allowing it to guide your life. And so as we go through our study, and we're going to see wisdom and we're going to talk about understanding, all those things, just remember what they are. Now notice, let's look at verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments, for they will bring you many days, a fulfilled life, and well-being. Now basically, this begins almost exactly like chapter 2 did. Remember in chapter 2, he says, hey, if you'll hold on to my words, if you'll take my teachings, if you'll hold on to my commandments, then you'll be on your way to having wisdom. And so, again, the Father, and as he's addressing the Son, I believe this is the Heavenly Father writing through Solomon to those that will receive it. He's telling us, take my teachings. Let them take my teachings, but let your heart, don't forget what I'm teaching you, and don't let your heart let go of my commandments. And again, you remember a few weeks ago, we studied on the idea of the heart. The heart is basically the control center of the human being. We know that it's our what we think, how we feel, our emotions, our preferences, all that. If we're a lost person, and that's why the Bible teaches us that the heart is wicked above all things, because even though we know Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're still trapped in this fleshly body, and we have these fleshly tendencies, these fleshly ways of thinking. That's why Paul wrote to the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, when we get saved, we're given a new life. We're given a new way of living. Praise God. Think about this, and I was thinking about this today. When we get saved, yes, we're saved from something. We're saved from sin. But you know what? We're also saved to something. We're saved to a new life. We're saved to a new future. We're saved to a new way of thinking. We're saved to a new way of living. Praise God. He takes away the sin and gives us, He saves us from sin and saves us to somebody. He saves us to a new family. We become members of the body of Christ. And so that's the same way true. We cannot be ruled by our emotions. We can't. I believe in America right now. You're seeing a lot of what's going on in our country because people have learned how to manipulate the emotions of the mass groups. Know how to get them upset. Know the key words and the things to say. And you know what? Even those of us who are Christians, we can be emotionally manipulated. If you don't believe me, ask my daughter. She knows how to play daddy. She knows what to do to get daddy to give her a couple of dollars or cook her what she wants to have. Why? Because I am an emotional being. And there's nothing wrong with being an emotional being, but we cannot be led by our emotions. That's why he says, don't forget my teachings. And don't let my commandments leave your heart. Because what are we left with? If in our heart, in our center of who we are, as Christians we have two things there. We have that emotional aspect of who we are, our intellect and our rathers. And then at the same time we have God's commands, His truth, His teachings, which we know that are always right, they're never wrong, and they're always the best in any situation. But what happens if in our heart we take away or we push aside the teachings and the commands of God? All we're left with is our own feelings, desires, selfish ways of thinking, and all that. And you know what? Those things can lead us into making a lot of bad decisions. But also, ultimately, when we do that, we put our own opinion above that of God. And so basically, we're making us the higher being in our life instead of submitting to Him. And notice what he says. He says, if we do these, in verse 2, they will bring you many days and a fulfilled life with well-being. Praise God. Remember, we talked Sunday morning and last Wednesday about what success is. What success is. Success of this world is being the best in your whatever given field, having the most money, and being a number one. But Christ Jesus told us, if we put God first and love our neighbors as ourselves, then basically we'll build our house on a rock. And that's a successful life. You know what else today I was thinking about too? What is a successful church nowadays? Is it a church that has a lot of members? A church that can get a 3,000 or 4,000 views on their web page? Is it one that baptizes more this year than they baptized last year? No. It's the church that puts Christ first, makes much of Christ, and loves the community and ministers to the community. Which, you know what? There's going to be some churches and some pastors and some deacon boards that probably hadn't baptized anybody in years just because of where they're at. But you know what? They'll probably get bigger rewards than some of the mega churches and all that. So it's going on there. Why? Because they've been faithful where they're at. Look in verses 2 and 3. Never let your loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Never let your loyalty and your faithfulness leave you. You know what? Jamie Taylor was here a few weeks ago. And you know the old saying is, if you die still having a friend, one or two friends from high school, then you've been a blessed person. One thing I know about Jamie, that son of a gun, me and him will pick at each other harder than we pick at anybody else. But all I got to do is make a phone call, and he'll be there. And I hope that's what you know about your pastor, and I believe that about our deacons and the people that's in this church. Why? Because they've proven themselves to be loyal. They've proven themselves to be faithful. Not to me, but to God. And when you're faithful to God, then you'll be faithful to your fellow man. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. That reminds me back what he talked about the commandments. You remember back over in Deuteronomy, and he talks about how we're to bind them to our hearts. We're to put them above our head. And literally, they wore a leather pouch on their forehead that carried the laws of God. But faithfulness and loyalty are to be around our inscribed into our heart, and we wear them around our neck. And verse 4 says, then you will find favor and high regard with God and with people. Hey, success. That's success right there. God is, you're found high with God, and people can say, well, he may not have had much money, but he was a good man. He's a faithful man. You knew where he was going to be on Sunday. If you ever called him and needed help, you knew he'd be there when he could. Number 5, this is the one that we should know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't rely on your own understanding, or basically your way of doing things. In all your ways, know him. Now the King James says acknowledge, but I like the way it's worded here in the Christian Standard. In everything that you do, make sure that you are known by God and you know God. Again, not your emotions, not how you feel, not what you're thinking. Base it on your relationship with God. And if you do that, then guess what? He will direct your path, or he will guide you in the path that you should go. That's what we as your the leaders here at church are trying to do. Believe you me, if it was me, we'd be having regular service right now with Sunday school and everything, but trying to do the best that we can do. Verses 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do any of y'all know somebody who thinks they know it all? I've got a few in my life that they just think they know it all, and nobody else knows nothing. And this is what gets me. They'll say stuff like this, well, I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just saying I'm right. But that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. You just talking out of both sides of your mouth. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will provide healing for your body, and it will strengthen your bones. We don't have it all right. None of us have all the right answers. And the sooner we recognize that we don't have most of the right answers, then we'll look toward he who does, and that's God himself. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions. King James says substance, the things you have. Meaning, your vehicle, your health, your home, everything that you have. You know you can use it for the glory of the Lord. How? Well, as long as you live a lifestyle that honors him and that is serving him, then everything you have is used for the glory of the Lord. It goes on. Matter of fact, look what it says right here. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your harvest. Now, I don't know if this was the first squash that Brother Otis had on his vine, but I ended up with them. He was honoring God with his squash. And if you would like to honor God with your squash, your okra, your tomatoes, your corn, whatever, you just bring them up here and set them at the back door. And when I'm eating them, I'll give thanks for you and your harvest, okay? But notice it says, if you do this, then your barns will be completely filled and your vats, or basically your liquid containers, will overflow with new wine. You'll be beneficial. If you honor God with what you have, then guess what he says? If I can trust you with what I've already given you, then I may just end up blessing you with more. You know what? And me and Otis, Brother Otis, talked about this not long ago. You know, I don't think I have $1 million because the Lord ain't got to the point yet where he can trust me with $1 million. You know that? I hope I make it there one day that he knows he can trust me with $1 million. Now, from where I was at 20 years ago, yes, he's blessed me more than that. But some of us, if we had $1 million, we wouldn't never work again. We'd never tithe again. We wouldn't never go back to church again. Nothing like that. You know what? I'm going to get in trouble for what I'm going to say. You know what? Some of us, the Lord can't trust us to be skinny. I'm beyond me. I've seen people that were a little bigger in their lifestyle, and then they go off and get this surgery and all that. Next thing you know, they end a divorce, in another relationship and all that. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Well, I might be crazy. But I still believe the Lord can't trust everybody to be skinny, and he can't trust everybody to have a lot of money. Because why? Because we do not honor him with our possessions. Verse 11, do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe or don't hate or dread his discipline. Now, that goes completely against us as human beings. How many of you, when your daddy said, go to your room or and get the belt, or go outside and break me off an oak sapling, how many of you were just overthrilled thinking, woo-wee, I'm fixing to get straightened out by my daddy. I'm going to get a whipping. And they going to ground me, and I just don't think I can handle a good ground. And how could I be that blessed? None of that goes directly against us. But look what he says in verse 12. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. Praise God. As a boy, I didn't understand it. When my daddy would whip me or my mama would whip me, and they'd give me this, it's hurting me more than it hurts you. But the first time I ever laid a belt to my daughter's backside, I knew it immediately. Knew it immediately. Couldn't, and I had to stop. Had to stop. But that's the way the Lord is with us. He don't get enjoyment out of correcting us, allowing things to come in our lives to get our attention so that we'll look back to Him. But as a good father, He does not want us to wander too far down the wrong path and get ourselves in too much mess. He would rather deal with it right then. And so we're to be thankful for that. Verses 13 through 17. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and acquires understanding. Meaning that when we figure out what's right in God's eyes, the truth, then we begin to apply that in our lives. Notice the word it used. It literally uses the word happy. And remember, happiness, it is an emotional state. It's not like joy. Joy is based on our more permanent situation. We are God's and He is ours. No matter what happens, you can't take away from that. So I have joy unending. But happiness, H-A-P-P-E-N, is happen. The root of happiness comes from happen, or what's going on around us. But notice what he says. When we learn how to live in wisdom, we will have a happier life. That's not me saying that, is it? That's what he says. We will have a happier life when we apply wisdom. Does that mean that we're going to just be laughing our heads off all the time? Well, no. Nobody's happy 24/7. That's one of the problems we have in the world. Everybody thinks we got to be happy 24/7. No, we ain't got to be happy 24/7. We weren't, since the fall, we weren't intended to be happy 24/7. Notice he says, but happy is the man who finds wisdom and becomes and acquires understanding. For she, who is she here? Remember, what did we say? When you don't know, always go back to what in this book? What's this book about? Wisdom. And that's what he's talking about. She, wisdom, is more profitable than silver. Her revenue is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you can desire can equal her. And remember, last week we were told if we were going to acquire wisdom, then we had to seek after it as fine silver and gold. We had to make a plan to pursue it and all that. Verse 16, long life is in her hand. Her right hand, and in her left is riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, all of her paths peaceful. She is a tree of life to those that embrace her. And again, listen how this section wraps up. Those who hold her are what? Blessed. Or in other words, happy is what it says in the Christian Standard. Now, does that mean that everybody's going to be happy their whole life through? No. Because you know what? We don't live cookie-cutter lives. We all don't have cookie-cutter lives. Not everybody who plants something and gives their first piece of squash to the preacher honoring God with it is going to have a booming squash crop that year. It just ain't going. Not every year you're going to have a booming crop. That's just the way it is. But odds are, when we apply wisdom, then these things are more likely than not to become into our life. If you don't apply wisdom, well, then there's really not much of a chance of it being in your life. Verse 19 and 20. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens through understanding. By His knowledge, the waters of the deep are broken up. Now, I believe what he's leaning to right here is we can think about and we can lean to the aspect of science. It is by wisdom, God knowing what would work, putting it together and making it work. I mean, think about it. We know, the Bible says, teaches us that there's at least three heavens, right? And so the first heaven, what is the first heaven? The first heaven is the blue sky we look at. That's what we see on a day-to-day basis with the clouds and all that stuff. What's the next heaven? The next heaven is outer space, the planets, the comets and all that stuff. And then the third heaven, we believe it was Paul, but Paul said he knew someone who looked over into the third heaven and witnessed things that could not be uttered. That's in 2 Corinthians. I can't remember the chapter, but it is there. What's he talking about? That is what we would term as heaven, the dwelling place of the Creator, of God Almighty. But think about first and second heaven, the one we see and the one that we know is on the other side of that. My goodness, it's amazing how all the planets lean just the right way and they spin just at the right speed to keep everything from going off kilter. How did that happen? Because the Creator was very wise in what he was doing, and he knew how to put things together so that they stayed functioning properly. Just like with the clouds and all that. When it evaporates and all that makes water. Yes, sir. Amen. And that's what's amazing about the Bible. It's not a science book, but when it comes to science, it can be trusted. I mean, that's the way it is. By his knowledge, the waters of the deep are broken up. He knew exactly how to make the Arctic freeze just right so that we're not flooded again. He knew how to put to break up the continents. You know, at one time it was all just one, what did they call it? Pangea. I think that's what the scientists call it, is Pangea. But it was just one mass. But then after the flood, when the water sprang up, but also came down. A lot of people don't know that it sprang up. It didn't just come up from the sky. It come up from the reservoirs that was held underneath that. And take out all that water, what happens? The weight breaks it up, and then you have the science of God. That's what you have. That's why we have the continents we have now. And I'm going to stop there. We got further than what I thought we was going to get tonight anyway. Is the clock right now? It is. Ken plays with the clock on me because one day he thinks he's going to make me eat a tie. Because he says if he can get me in the pulpit by such and such time. And he's not been paying fair lately. But any thoughts on tonight's lesson before we wrap up? And again, I trust that you're going through and studying these out. I believe most of you probably read at least a portion of it on a daily basis. But it just blows my mind how God knows what to give you when you need it and all that. And again, just want to let you know, nobody has been in this church with COVID-19 active. And so we're just doing our best to make sure we're trying to look at you, look out for you, okay? Got any questions, call me, call the deacons, call Brother Otis. He'd be more than willing to talk to you. Any of our deacons would be. And so we're going to be praying for you. If you had any prayer needs, do go ahead and be letting us know. You can send them through Facebook or whatever. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Bledsoe if he would come up and close us out in a word of prayer tonight. But we are going to be going back and beginning our Monday and Friday devotionals again, just to kind of add a little bit of extra support through this time when the church ain't functioning the way that it would traditionally function. But we love you, but nobody loves you like Jesus. Brother Gary.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time that we've been able to spend together and studying your word. And Father, we thank you for the wisdom of it. We thank you for the technology, oh God, that we can that we enjoy the togetherness, Lord, even though physically we're not together. But Lord, We just thank you so very much for your wisdom that you have imparted to us. And Father, we just pray that you will help us to follow your word, to open our hearts to receive it, that we may share it with a lost and dying world, O God, and just may we just give praise, honor, and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.